Hi to everyone, and thanks for the introduction. Also, thanks for making it to the first session of the day. So this is a joint work with my colleagues at Imperial College London, Matteo Midavacca, Peter Pitsuk, and Alex Wolf. And the general goal of the work is basically try to provide a better integration between applications and network in cloud data center. In particular, we would like basically to offer to sort of, you know, provide a better alignment between what the applications expect from the network and what the network can really provide. So if you think about, you know, many distributed applications, and in particular, like, you know, the applications running in the cloud, we see that in many cases, they actually are built on top of overlays. For instance, you know, Cassandra is actually using a ring, or, you know, in MapReduce, we have an all-to-all kind of mesh, and like interactive services like Bing Search or Google Search and so on, they use kind of, you know, an aggregation tree in order to spread the load. The problem is that actually the network is actually very different. So this is how basically the network look like, and we all know that. And we have all this kind of issue in terms of like oversubscription, ECMP, layer 2, layer 3 domain, TCP incast, and so on. Now the problem is that from the programmer perspective, the only way that applications can interact with the network is basically just using TCP. So there is very little control over network resources. And it's basically difficult to map this distributed abstraction that we saw before onto this, onto the physical topology. Now, to make the discussion a bit more concrete, what I will do is that I will give you three examples of applications in which basically they're currently sort of struggling basically to get this kind of, you know, mapping. And this will help me to motivate what are the functionality that I believe could be useful to have in a cloud environment. So the first application we are looking at is MapReduce. We all know MapReduce basically is the de facto standard for large scale data analytics. And from the network perspective, it's very challenging. Especially during the shuffle phase, we have this all-to-all traffic pattern. But especially in oversubscribed clusters, that is in cluster where, you know, you have a difference between the bandwidth that you have in the rack and the bandwidth that you have outside the racks, basically this can be a problem. And we know that it's basically critical, actually, the position of map and reduce tasks. So this is a graph from the Mantri paper at OSDI 2010. And basically, they were showing, based on the Microsoft traces, that in like 50% of the cases, the reduced phases actually took like 60% more just because of an unlucky, you know, placement. The problem is that, again, from the program perspective, the only thing that you can do is basically you can do reverse engineering of the network. So you can use a combination of tools like ping or, you know, trace route and, you know, cluster algorithms in order trying to understand where your VMs are and trying to figure out what could be the best placement. And as you can imagine, this is actually not ideal because it's a very low level process, time consuming, and can also be inaccurate. So ideally, the first functionality we would like from the network is a sort of network visibility. That is basically the ability to, I mean, have a, like an abstract map of your VMs and know exactly what are the bandwidth for, like, you know, the constraint that you have among them. This is actually not very difficult probably to achieve, but as we'll see, it's just the beginning, it's not enough. So the second example I want to actually draw your attention on is about iterative jobs. These are very common in MapReduce, they're used in machine learning. Here I have an example from Netflix. This is taken from the orchestra paper, was last year at SICOM from Berkeley. And in this kind of jobs, basically, the idea is that you have, like in Netflix, you have, you want to figure out what are the user preferences, leveraging on the preferences of other users. So what you do is that basically you have all set of vectors, you distribute a number of workers, each worker operates on one of the users, then you collect the results, and then again you distribute the results to the workers, and you keep on this process until either you converge or after, you know, a given number of iterations. Now, the problem is that this one-to-many is very critical from the network perspective because it takes, you know, a significant part of network traffic. And typically, the way in which you can do that from the application are very few. So either you actually go for a point-to-point, this would probably be very Strowman solution. Probably what most people do is actually use application-level multicast tree. Or what, like this was proposed in the orchestra paper, you can use something like BitTorrent. However, the problem is that whatever what you do, you still have a fundamental limit that is the following. Let's consider a simple tree where you have a root and two children. And you want to map this simple tree on the traditional topology. So this is a simple rack, three nodes, top of the rack switch, nothing really fancy. Now the problem is that, as you can see, basically all these two physical logical links are actually sharing the same physical link. So you have congestion. So this means that basically every child only gets like 500 megabit. And this is not a matter of network visibility, because basically whatever topology that is not a chain, right, cannot be mapped on top of this. And this is the best case where you have only two children. If you have, let's say, rack level aggregation, as people do, for instance, Bing search, this would be even worse, because it would be 1 gigabit divided by 40. So ideally, what we would like to have is to have the ability to actually to perform custom forwarding. I'm thinking about things like, you know, multicast, anycast for load balancing, content-based routing, key-based routing, and so on. And you can see here in many cases, like for instance, anycast or content-based routing, this is application-specific. I'll come back to this later. But the point what I'm trying to make is that this is not just about IP multicast, but actually you have a much richer set of options. Now, let's move one step forward. So let's consider interactive services, as I said, Bing search, Google, this kind of service, where basically a user types a query, and then the query is sent to a number of workers, and then all the results are aggregated, and the final result is returned to the user. So this is typically done using some sort of aggregation tree. So this is a slide from Jeff Dean from Google. And basically, you can see you have the request coming in. There is, you know, a tree of parent servers, and then the request goes to the lib server, and then the results are aggregated. So what's the problem here? Here is exactly the dual of the one that we saw before, because now we have a sort of incast problem, where basically all the, you know, the tree is actually sharing one link. So again, here you have that basically you can just get 500 megabit. And again, this is not about routing. So even if we had multicast in place, this would not help, because the fact is that basically here they only share one link. So ideally, what we would like to do is that we would like to be able to actually run some function, some aggregation function inside the network, sort of in network processing. Now, this is also one example that just a shameless plug for my talk tomorrow in the NSDI. We show that basically, if you do in network aggregation, you can improve the performance. But there are also other options, like for instance, you can do opportunistic caching on path, or you can do like semantic deduplication. So there are a number of use cases in which having the ability to perform arbitrary network process can be useful. So basically, what we would like to do with NAS, what we would like to do is the, think of mechanism and abstraction that enable tenants to run part of their code within the network. So this means visibility of a network resources, the ability to do custom forwarding, and in general, the ability to provide arbitrary processing of packets in on path. Now, what is interesting is that I believe this also could be useful from the provider perspective. Because basically, what the network operator is doing is that sort of reverse engineering what the application is doing. So there was an interesting paper at SOC last year from Dave Anderson, and also one, I think, in SDI 2010. They were both kind of showing that if you do traffic engineering completely agnostic from the application, it's really hard. When you start basically by providing NAS, an application can give sort of hints about what it would like to do. So also the provider could benefit. Plus, since NAS provides a better usage of resources, because the idea is that when you do multicast, you do in the network rather than at the end host, this would also basically free more bandwidth that could be used also for other applications. So just to clarify, this is not about software-defined networking or open flow or these kind of things, but it's sort of a complementary approach. Because while in software-defined networking, the focus is on providing network operator the ability to manage a big network. Here, the focus is on providing tenants, like application-specific services, the ability to actually to run within the network. So I see the two things as sort of complementary, although clearly some of the techniques could be shared between the two. Now, one question that you may ask is, why now? I mean, some of these ideas are not new, if at all, right? So for instance, active networking has been around for a while. And basically, they were sort of proposing something along these lines, right? Providing an application to the network. So why do I think now is actually a good time to revisit some of these ideas? The first thing is that data centers are actually kind of peculiar environment, because they're not just like the internet, but basically we have some advantage. So first of all, there is a single administration domain. We know and we control the topology, so we know exactly how the topology looks like and we can change it. Also, there is very low hardware diversity because basically it's all Ethernet-based. Also, in terms of network protocols, we don't need to support like ATM or all sorts of protocols because we know exactly what we need to support. And also, finally, we have, you know, trusted components. Like, there are some places into the network, like, for instance, hypervisors, that we can trust. So we know that basically we have this vantage point. And the second point is that during the last year, there has been a lot of proposal for software routers, like RootBricks in 2009 at SSP, and then more recently, like Server Switch, Packet Shedder, Sidecar, Netmap. And the idea is that all these services typically have shown that, I mean, it's possible to basically to replace a switch or part of the switch with a software-based implementation. But currently, they're only used to provide a replacement for network services, like IPv4 or deep packet inspection and so on. So what we are trying to do here is that once you have a software router, you can actually use this flexibility to also run arbitrary processing of packets. So instead of just doing, for instance, deep packet inspection, you can, for instance, run an aggregation function inside the network. And so basically you can give the opportunity to the user, to the tenant, to actually run this application within the network. So at the moment, we are very in the early stage of the project, so we are still sort of exploring different design alternatives. This is the one we are considering at the moment, but of course, I mean, it's all open for discussion. So the idea would be that basically we use a topology like this, where we have switches here, and basically the switches are augmented with computation capabilities. This could be like, you know, having completely replaced switches with root bricks. This would be probably a bit too far, or could be, for instance, having hybrid solution, where we sort of, you know, combine a switch, so we do like traditional packet switching in hardware, and then we actually have attached like in server switch or in sidecar, a CPU or a computer-defined server to do the custom in-packet processing. Also because we don't expect that magically all tenants will actually switch to the NAS, right? But probably there will be only a minority of them. So the rest, we can still use the fast path. The second bit is that we are thinking of using a factory-like topology, potentially oversubscribed. And the reason is that by using this, we are spreading the load over multiple switches. So this means that basically every switch doesn't need to support like terabit of bandwidth. But for instance, for a 27,000 server cluster, at most, I mean, we have 48 gigabit per server. This is one of the nice properties of the factory design. And so the idea is that basically tenants can run their code inside of these NAS boxes. And then basically, as I said, we have a fast path for all traffic that is not NAS related. So we have done a very, very preliminary evaluation just to get the feeling of where we stand. So in particular, the question we were trying to address is, what are the benefits for the NAS users? What is the impact for all the rest of people that don't want to use NAS? And finally, what's the throughput that is required by a NAS box? Because the point is that if to get a 5% improvement on throughput, I need to have 40 gigabit in software. Well, probably we're not there yet. So we were trying to explore at which point we see the sort of, you know, the break-even point. So we use the flow level simulator. We simulate an 8,000 server factory topology. And we have a mix of 80% of, you know, TCP flows and 20% of multicast in network aggregation and caching. As I said, this is just basically sort of, you know, to get a feeling where we are. So this doesn't want to be representative of any, like, you know, real, but it's just basically to see, to get, you know, one point in the design space and trying to explore. So here we have this graph. So on the x-axis, we have basically the maximum processing rate of NAS. So here basically means that, you know, the NAS at most, the software part of the switch, can only compute 1 gigabit per second, right? And here instead we have actually the best, so that, you know, we can actually do line rate packet processing in software. And on the y-axis, we have the ratio between the time that we would get with using NAS versus normalized to the baseline. So the lower, the better. So basically, these are the results with 1 gigabit. So as you can see, even with just using 1 gigabit, we can already basically reduce the traffic by 65%. And if we add more and more bandwidth, basically, the results are even better. So again, where is the magic? The magic is that when we do multicast, for instance, you don't have to send like 3, 4, 5 different flows, but you can send just one flow to the switch, and then it's up to the switch basically to split at the proper point. Now, as I said, it's not really important to really look at this number because, of course, this is a very preliminary evaluation. So maybe it's not 1 gigabit, maybe it could be 2, 4, or 5. But the important point here is that even a low throughput already provides significant benefit. Now, the second graph is about, okay, but what happens to the rest of the flows? So here we have a CDF of the completion time of all flows. This is baseline, so this is basically without any NAS or, you know, anything fancy. And this includes also the non-NAS flows, right? So as you can see, basically, by using 1 gigabit, we are able to move the CDF towards the left, so basically to reduce the completion time for all flows, including the non-NAS. And of course, I mean, the more bandwidth we have, the more we move to the left. So the point is that since basically we using NAS, we do a better usage of the network resources, we are actually also able to free more bandwidth, and this bandwidth can be used by other flows. So if you think about the multicast example, effectively, since now I have only to send one copy instead of two to the switch, I effectively free part of the bandwidth that can be used by other flows. So, of course, a number of challenges we have to solve before actually even getting closer to something like that. First of all is that typically on software routers, you have like 3, 4, 5 services. For instance, there is an interesting paper in SDI by Caterina at EPFL that is basically showing the impact of running like 4 or 5 applications on root bricks. Here, effectively, we are actually scaling by 1 or possibly 2 order of magnitude in terms of, you know, software running. And also, all software can be malicious or can be just simply poorly written. So we want to make sure that we have proper mechanism to ensure performance isolation. So we don't want one bad tenant, one malicious tenant, to actually screw other people. Then second is about the programming abstraction. So you don't want the provider, clearly, to completely open up his topology and say, hey, this is my topology, and please play with OpenFlow. Because of course, this is not the way to go. Because the provider wants still to keep some information private. And on the other hand, for the tenants, clearly don't want to program at the OpenFlow level. But ideally, you would like to have some high-level abstraction. So one of the challenges is to find the sweet spot between the performance, because you still, I mean, ultimately want to get higher performance, but the flexibility for the user in order to have high-level abstraction, but also for the provider not to forced to reveal too much information about its network. And finally, the pricing scheme. That, of course, I mean, it's also something that, you know, at some point we should look into that. Okay, so just to summarize, so the idea is that with the current infrastructure, basically, it's very hard for the application to actually to optimize the traffic to the network, right? Because even if you had the network visibility, you still have the fundamental limit that you can't control the software running on the switches, or basically, in many switches, you don't even have the option to run any software. So the idea is that by enabling tenants to actually to run part of the application inside the network, you can basically achieve higher efficiency, simplify the development because you don't need to play with reverse engineering or, you know, tricks like BitTorrent and so on, but you have much cleaner abstractions. And also providers would benefit because, first of all, they can do a more fine-grained traffic engineering. And second, you know, there is more bandwidth that can be used for other tenants. So what we are doing at the moment is that basically we sort of took like a sidecar design. This basically is a switch we've attached, you know, a sort of root bricks like software router. And the idea is that we only focused on mainstream application like Hadoop or Twitter Storm. And the idea is to provide a transparent acceleration of this application. So since we understand the application, it's Hadoop, it's MapReduce, what you can do is that you as a user, you just give us your MapReduce. And basically, we figure out what kind of functionality, for instance, MapReduce, it's easy, like the combiner, we can run inside the network. So you don't need to change your application, but we can just basically provide an acceleration for you. OK, and on this, I'm done. And I'm happy to take questions.
Modifying videos in network or providing ad translation service.
Okay, so I'm not aware of this work, but as I said, some of these ideas have been around, you know, for a while in different projects. I think here what I'm looking for is basically sort of have, you know, coherent mechanism for tenants rather than, so I can imagine that, you know, for specific application you can provide some sort of, you know, application agnostic solution, like, you know, video, for instance, streaming or acceleration. But if I added, you would like every tenant where I'm running Cassandra, I want to do, for instance, on path caching, I'm running MapReduce, I want to do network aggregation and other kind of this operation to have a sort of, you know, cleaner abstraction and efficient mechanism to basically to be able to offload, to deploy part of this, you know, application inside the network. And then you have all sorts of problems in terms of, for instance, performance isolation or scalability of resources. So I'm not claiming, you know, I'm actually inventing a network processing. I'm just saying that, you know, I think that in a cloud data center, there is both the need and also the environment basically to make this happen. Yeah, Moshe. Yeah, so this is a very good question because, of course, so as I said, one example is, for instance, Hadoop. So you take Hadoop, basically, you understand the application because basically it's map, combiner, and reduce. And what you can do is that basically you can take the combiner and run inside the network. So basically, you as a provider, you don't need to reveal exactly this is my top of the rack switch, this is my aggregation switch, this is my core router. But basically, you figure out where the VMs are, and at each hop inside the network, basically, you run this functionality. Okay. Or for instance, you want to do multicast. Again, you can say, well, actually, I want to do multicast. These are my members. Please make sure that you do the perfect mapping between my multicast and stuff. But clearly, I mean, it's a very, you know, in the general, so this is a very specific example. Coming up with, you know, a good general abstraction is very, you know, much of an open question.